In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Well, it sure is Birds in the Hat from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Wonderful to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Reminder, tomorrow, Jason Kelsey, 7:30 to 8:30 in studio. Corey Clement in studio with us tomorrow beginning at 8. So big show tomorrow. Big show also today. It's today's broadcast at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation, with 50% of all crab fries purchased here today going toward the Travis Mannion Foundation. Also, we will have a raffle. Of an item. This is a big one. How about this? A 2024 Eagles trip from fans of Philly. Okay, let me repeat. 2024 Eagles trip from fans of Philly. That's a raffle item. Now, here's the thing. You got to be here to win it. You enter by being here. This isn't online. Okay, you got to be here. South Philly Chickies and Pete's. Also, you can win other items such as Lane Johnson autograph merchandise, WIP studio sit-ins, and more. And reminder, 6 to 8 tonight, because the station broadcasts till 7 p.m. here, 6 to 8, a special celebrity guest bartending evening, which will feature, amongst others, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mulata from the 8-2 Eagles. Swoop and cheerleaders will also be here as well. And who's here right now? The legend. Always a wonderful day to talk to Mr. Merrill Reese. Merrill, good morning, sir.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Merrill?
I'm good. I was driving in. And, you know, as always, I listen to you, and I'm listening to you talk about famous events,
yeah,
strange events that have happened.
Right.
And do you know that, now maybe somebody mentioned it,
okay,
but do you know that yesterday was the 46th anniversary of a famous event?
Okay, hold on, let me do the quick math. So 76, or 78, oh, Miracle in the Meadowlands?
Yeah.
Ah, Miracle,
that is a strange
November
one.
November 19th, 1978.
That's wild, Merrill, yeah. And you know what, Merrill, I think a lot of people don't know? I only knew this a few years ago. I would say most people don't know this. And let's get Merrill's headphones up here so we can get him. We got to get him able to hear a little bit more. So, Merrill, can you hear me right now?
I can.
Okay. So you probably remember this, Merrill, but most won't. Bergie had been crashing the line.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants' offensive coordinator called a regular play because he was worried Pisarcik was going to get bowled over.
Right.
Bergie into the center, into Pisarcik. The Giants were ticked about it. That's why they called a regular running play,
yep,
which led to the... James, do you know that? As someone who's younger, do you know the reason they called a regular running play is because Bergie was killing the center?
I did not know that.
Who was killing the quarterback.
That's wild. True.
Now, the Giants' offensive coordinator was fired.
Sure was.
Never worked again.
By the next morning.
Yeah, never worked again,
right? Do you remember his name?
I do not.
His name was the same as a famous pitcher. His name was Bob Gibson.
Oh, wow.
Now, do you remember who the coach was?
Oh, boy. I'll say Ray Perkins, but I don't think it is.
No.
Who is it?
No. And this is historic.
Lou Holtz?
I say that? No.
He was a Jets coach.
No.
Who was it?
The coach was the grandfather of the Rams' Sean McVay, John McVay.
Look at that. Look, that's Richie's favorite family, the McVay family. He thinks they're all brilliant.
I do think Sean is a really good coach.
He is a good coach.
All right, so, Merrill, let's start with this as we talk about this Eagles season. Can you put into perspective late November how different your mood is, good team versus bad team? Because we got a good team here. Like, the good season's got to just be a lot more fun for you, right?
Well, all seasons are fun for me because I love doing it.
Sure.
I love sitting behind that mic and doing an NFL game on a Sunday, Monday, Thursday, or whatever. But a season like this is really special. And you see, now, I am one who subscribes to the fact that September is an extension of the preseason games. I really believe that. When they were 2-2, I was not upset. And you talked about the game in Tampa Bay, and that was the low point of the season. But don't forget, John, that game was played without A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Lane Johnson.
It's easy to forget that.
You know,
those are not
the Eagles.
You're right.
You're taking away the three best players on that roster. And so, to me, that didn't mean that this team was going nowhere. But they used that bye to correct things. They got guys more involved in different aspects of the game, and then they took off from there. And I don't care about the competition. You play the teams that are on your schedule, but you build confidence each week.
Yeah.
And this is a very confident team.
Merrill,
right,
this defense has been eye-opening. What do you make of what they've been able to achieve and Vic Fangio's role in helping bring it together?
Well, Vic is great. Vic is a great defensive coordinator with all the knowledge in the world. But it's more than scheme. It's recognize. You know, the Andy used to drive us nuts at his press conferences because he gave
he
you
did?
The same. And we love Andy. But Andy Reid used to say a few things. Everybody deserves a piece of the pie. Yeah. And the other thing he said was a coach has to put players in position to make plays.
Yep.
But that's what Vic has done, determining that Zach Bourne was an inside linebacker. I mean, that was a stroke of genius, deciding that the Kobe Dean could really do the job again inside, that he was healthy. And and then the evaluation of Quinyon Mitchell and
How about just coaching those guys up? Both those inside linebackers are playing better at inside linebacker than they ever have before. Zach Bond, in part because he didn't always play inside linebacker.
He was never inside.
Yeah, but this is they have both been coached up to do better. They look different. They look improved.
Well, they're prepared.
You're right.
He does a great job of preparation. He doesn't make a big deal of things, but believe me, I saw him before the Cowboys game at the elevator, and I said, you ready? And he said, you know, every game is different.
Who is this, N'Kobe?
Vic.
Vic. Okay.
Said, you know, every game is different. But every game means something. You don't stick with the same things every week. You've got to be changing things up. And and he is able to dissect what it takes to put these players in the right play. And he knows he evaluates the opponents so brilliantly.
Right. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Larry Brown. You know, one of the things about Larry Brown when he was the Sixers coach, I feel like no one has seen literally all of it. But I felt when Larry Brown was here, it's like he had seen every shape and size of combination of players and could figure out quickly how to best attack based on his personnel versus your personnel. And Vic Fangio gives me that impression. He's seen thousands, hundreds of thousands of permutations of football, and he can quickly assess what I need to do to give us the best advantage to beat you.
Yeah.
He seems to do it in real time at a very effective level.
And I've been fortunate to be around some great defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
And Vic has ascended to that level, too.
No, that's big time. Hey, by the way, as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's today, please come on out if you're able. If you can't, you know, by the time our show ends at 10 o'clock, anytime over the next many hours, station broadcasting here till 7 o'clock tonight. You can also tailgate at Terminal E tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. with Elliot Shure Park. So be at Elliot. Elliot will be at the Chickies and Pete's in the airport, Terminal E, tomorrow morning. Get your free Bud Light Eagle shirts and, of course, do all of it while supplies last. By the way, speaking of while things last, like our show today till 10, we're going to have Times Yours at 9:45. We're going to do something we've never done, but we need your help on the Times Yours line. Here's what we need, James. We have Merrill here.
Ooh.
We have a lot of people through the Delaware Valley through the years who have done a Merrill Reese impersonation.
Oh, I think I would
argue, start that again.
Yeah. I would argue that everyone has one.
I mean,
the level of good or bad.
You know the story about that.
What's the story, Merrill?
That Angelo one day on the morning sports page was in the studio and he said, let's do a best Merrill Reese impression. And I was coming into the studio at the time and I walked into the newsroom and I picked up the phone and I called the studio and I said I was Bob from Drexel Hill.
Wow.
And I gave a regular play. I mean, I didn't do anything. I said, you know, backs were in the eye, this and that. And I finished third.
That's awesome.
That is so good. All right. So here's
that is a true story.
No, that's
beautiful.
That is
an amazing story.
So Time's Yours today. And you got about, you know, 15 minutes or so to call in so that the audio can be grabbed, you know, back at the station by our combination of producers and then present it for our 9:45 segment. Here's the Time's Yours line. 215-238-4500. Make it a great Merrill impression. 215-238-4500. We'll see who comes up with the best impression by the end of the show. And also, bonus points if you call a specific play. Yeah, you can do just a generic, you know, but if you like factor in a key moment in Eagles history and try to nail those words and a Merrill impression, and we'll play it for Merrill while he's here.
The Ronnie Brown play?
Not the Ronnie Brown play. Boy, Merrill. She does have a cynical bent. A Ronnie Brown fly. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Rose.
See, I don't have favorite descriptions, but I have favorite plays. Like, well, favorite moments, number one was the Super Bowl when they won the Super Bowl. But number two, was December 19th. 2010,
Deshaun.
And that was Deshaun.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's go to Rose Ellen right now. Rose Ellen, good morning to you.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to wish you guys happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays, Merry Christmas and all that.
Thank you, Rose Ellen.
To you as well.
Thank you. Merle, I have to say you are one of the greatest. Sometimes a lot of times I'll put the radio on to listen to you and mute the announcers, you know, for the game. But
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have an impersonation. But,
thank you. Thank you for that, too.
Yeah. You don't want to hear it. But anyway, about the Eagles, I think they're not great yet, but they are on their way. I believe, if Hurt gets rid of the ball quicker and doesn't throw as many interceptions, and throws more to Brown. I know that we're like a running game, but I do like the long passes to Brown, and I like.
Well, Jalen throws it great. Yeah, and they've got some guys that can go deep. I mean, frankly, all three of their guys can go deep.
But you know what the thing is? The thing is, and not to interrupt you, the thing is, Jalen has cut way down on those interceptions. People make a big difference. That pass that was picked off, and I heard you with Irving yesterday, that was a great pass. It was a great play by Trevon Diggs to come in there and intercept it. But he threw a laser to Dallas Goedert right there, and Diggs just made an amazing play. Sometimes it's a great defensive play. But when Jalen throws an interception, everyone goes nuts.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, do you realize that Patrick Mahomes now has 11 interceptions?
Got a lot. Yep.
11.
Yeah, that's a ton. Hey, Rose Ellen, give me a great answer here. What was a wild thing in sports?
Well, I have a few, but I think the fans throwing snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah, I mean, that's up there. I mean, it was certainly different. There's no doubt about that. Rose Ellen, thanks for the call. Merrill, the broadcast, so let's get it a little bit further here into, because we have to broadcast Turkey Bowl in.
Sure.
In a week. God, John, it's in a week. We better start preparing.
Get working.
Seltzer, get me the rosters.
Yeah, Ava, get me the rosters.
I need names. I need numbers. I need depth chart. All right. So, Merrill,
do I have to send Cindy over to quiz you?
Maybe. So, Merrill.
That might help a lot.
You have a couple signatures. The it's good. Okay. But you also have the 35-30, 25-20. So, I'm curious, in your days when you developed as a broadcaster, did you realize it's better to say 35-30, 25-20, 15-10 than, because you don't do 30-25. You don't do 20-15. Like, is that a
Joe, you're saying
rhythm?
That to me and I'm not even aware of
you
it.
Do it. You never say 40-35. 30-25.
I don't know.
You say, right, James? The exact opposite.
Yeah, he does.
It's 35-30, 25-20. Even thought of that?
I've never thought of that. I'm not even aware that I do it.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Most of what I do, I'm not aware of what I do it. It's just me.
I feel that way about the camera every day.
That's
a great point, Joe. I know, because when I was thinking of doing an impression, I was thinking of doing that 35-30.
That's
30,
what it is.
Like, yeah, exactly.
But the one thing you have to remember is you have to concentrate. We're doing a game one time in Buffalo. And I went, he's up to the 48, because the 49, the 50, the 51. I actually did that once. And then I got out of it by saying, that's what happens when you're doing a game close to Canada.
That's true. Nice.
They get the bigger where the fields game. Go to 55.
Bigger fields.
But I did that one time. Most of the stupid things you can do, I've done.
That's classic. Let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Merle, I when I was a kid, you used to do the my mom used to listen to WWDB in the morning, and you used to do the sports updates. And I just remember, I can't remember the guy's name who was the host of the show, but he always
Win,
used to say
Win
he
Moore.
Like,
Win
yeah,
Moore.
That's right.
It was Win Moore like and Tyrone Jack Power. O'Reilly.
He used to say you look like Tyrone Power. And I would be like, Mom, who's Tyrone Power? So, and Joe, it was Frank LeMaster. It wasn't Bill Burke. Frank LeMaster had had pushed the running back down on top of Joe Pisarcik when he basically laid
Merrill, is that accurate? LeMaster?
I don't remember.
I thought it was Berge. Are you certain, Ken?
They hated Frank LeMaster. They hated
him. Okay.
So, it could have been both of them.
Yeah, maybe it was. I had heard it was Berge. But anyway, go ahead, Ken.
So, first of all, I mean, Eagles have, what, 7 games left? They are better than every team on their schedule.
No, I think it's 6, isn't it?
Seven. They're 8-2.
I think they've got 10 games left.
Nicely done.
Well, I'm talking about regular season.
I'm not.
They're better than every
team. Right,
I'm joking.
Yeah, you have 7 games left.
Yeah, 7. I'm just saying the playoffs. Yeah.
They're better than every team left on their schedule. So, I mean, that's.
I don't know
like
that to be true.
Start.
Baltimore's pretty good, man.
The defense.
I think if you look at the rosters, the Eagles are better.
I think, at least
roster wise, they're better.
I would be. Careful
I like.
On that.
I agree. I agree with his point. I think the Eagles are better. I think the Eagles will be favored.
You think they'll be favored in Baltimore?
In Baltimore?
Ooh.
No. There is one good thing because the Eagles are playing in L.A. Sunday night, so you'd think that's a disadvantage. Baltimore is playing in L.A. Monday night against the Chargers.
Wow.
The Battle of the Harbors.
Yeah. So that's actually pretty nice that it's not a huge disadvantage for the Eagles coming back to go to Baltimore. Because Baltimore has to come back from the West Coast, too.
On this Sirianni thing real quick, John continues to talk about the organizations, right? And that it's an organizational structure and Sirianni gets maybe too much credit. I'm just trying to think of any bad organizations in the NFL that win football games. I mean, we all think Kevin Stefanski.
The Bengals have been a really bad organization for a long time and had a few. They went to the Super Bowl.
Cowboys went 12-5 the last 3 years, and I don't think they're a good organization.
Well, they are the exception. I mean, the Browns are the Browns. Kevin Stefanski is a good
for the most part. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Saleh didn't even want to come here to be interviewed because he had to run up the turnpike to get hired by the Jets. How did that work out for him? So. I think overall, you know, part of being a good organization is hiring good coaches and good personnel and hiring good staff. So it's just I don't think you should discount Sirianni's accomplishments as a head coach.
All right, Ken, give me something wild in sports.
Some of you guys are old enough in the studio to remember this one, but it was the 1979 disco demolition at Comiskey Park.
Already said. Give me a different answer.
Oh, it was.
Yep.
Well, then I don't have one.
All right, no problem. Ken, stay well, buddy. Always good hearing from you. Let's get to Nick right now. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Nick.
Big old speaker. So I just kind of wanted to touch base on the whole Embiid thing. You know, for the last 2 years, even before the MVP season, I've always been talking with my friends and stuff, saying that we should have traded him then. But then, you know, we give him that 5-year extension. I feel like we're kind of just trapped with him now. I think as much you could do about it except deal with it.
So let's just let me just because I'm a little spun around. I think it was a 3-year extension tacked on to what?
2 years, yeah.
So it's five total.
Yeah, correct.
That's what I thought. Beginning this year, right,
total,
James?
Yeah.
God, if it was a 5-year extension tacked on to two, that'd
be... What's the point of that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that'd be a little ridiculous. Jesus. I don't see the point of training them now. I mean, you know, we're already dealing with the frustration. I mean, what's the point of dealing with more frustration of trying to rebuild a whole other team?
Well, the point is you're probably going to
guys on the team now. Well, McCain.
Well, Nick, hold on. The point is you're probably going to trade him at some point. And if you feel like you're not going to win a title with him, the theory is begin the rebuilding process
sooner
than later.
You still think they can? You're clinging to that.
I think they can. I don't think they will. But I think they can. Yes.
In this conference with the Celtics in it.
Look, we're down to about we're down to
indignation.
We're down to about a 3%.
It was no, yeah. Actually, James, no. You misinterpreted. It wasn't indignation. It was shock.
No, I understand
that he would think that.
I understand. I'm not firm, Nick, in this. I don't have great, you know, belief, but I also know we haven't yet seen, and we may never. But if we do, we haven't yet seen Embiid healthy with Paul George and Maxey. Like, we just haven't seen it yet. And I'd like to see that.
Does he have the will? Does he have the will to
get how that unfolds?
To get that all together.
I think
like,
he
get
wants
that
to.
Realized.
He may not have the will.
Tyrese and Paul George and Joel, Here we are, arrival, all on the court. Like work together for a month to try to see how where it goes and how we can improve this thing.
Here's what I'll say, John.
Feel like it's going to be thrown together. Slapped together at the last minute because because it's going to be the litany of injuries for one or the other
of course.
All three, and then by the time it's all said and done, it will be woe is us. We didn't make the most of this opportunity.
No, I get it. Hey, Nick, I need an answer from you. What was wild in sports?
I'm going to have to go with the A.J. Brown moment. Him up and quitting midfield and taking his jersey off is pretty crazy.
Antonio, you mean?
Antonio Brown.
That was wild.
It was.
Just walking off the field.
Now, sadly, it may have been related to brain issues, but that was wild. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, more with Merrill as he stays with us till 10. The impersonations that will come in on Time's Yours. Reminder, and if you got to get an impersonation in about Merrill, get it in quickly because we got to retrieve this audio off our phone system. So get that in. The Time's Yours line, 215-238-4500. We'll see who has the best impression by the end of the show. Also, the Embiid poll results. Do people want him gone? What the results show, we'll tell you next. Show to Cameron, John Ritchie. Big day from Chickies and Pete's Birds at the half today on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, how you can win and, of course, win big. And with the NBA, you can specifically lock in with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, where they want you to catch all the action. And by all, I mean all. Because they are giving you, FanDuel is, 3 months of NBA League Pass when you place a $5 bet. Think about that, $5 bet. And for that, you get 3 months of NBA League Pass, which means you get on your TV at home every NBA game for 3 months. It's a beautiful deal, and it's exclusive to FanDuel Sportsbook at this website, FanDuel.com/hammer. So as the local squad gets back in action tonight, another game, Philly at Memphis, find a bet or bets that works for you from within that game or any of the games across the association and lock in it at FanDuel.com/hammer. With that, you can get 3 months of NBA League Pass, FanDuel.com/hammer.
Brought to you by Lexus of Cherry Hill, family-owned and operated, lexusofcherryhill.com. Well, it wouldn't be the Sixers if there wasn't some level of dysfunction going on. With Joel Embiid at the center of it, ESPN's Sham Sharani reporting Tyrese Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time for team activities, calling him out for being late to everything. Sixers are at Memphis tonight. Maxey upgraded to questionable after missing a couple games with a hamstring injury. Weather brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Mix the sun and clouds early, a high of 63. Enjoy all the season's action with the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles, Dietz and Watson Eagles Dogs. Details online at DietzandWatson.com. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Well, good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. Birds at the Half. Joe and Hugh will pick up the broadcast starting at 10 o'clock today, then Spike, Ike, and Jack from 2 to 6. Station will be broadcasting until 7 o'clock here. We are at the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's. In 10 minutes, Merrill will get a first-hand account of impersonations that have come in of Merrill. It's people doing Merrill to Merrill. So we'll find out how that goes coming up in 10 minutes. All right, Sean, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day and round them out. Obviously, if we weren't doing so much Eagles today, we would have done a lot more on Joel. I'm sure we'll do more of that tomorrow. Something tells me this issue is not, you know, exactly going away, unless they trade him quickly. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox, sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, both these questions, I'm certain, most people would have said no, perhaps even up until yesterday, but definitely up until recently. We'll see where things tilt now. John, first poll question. Do you think the Sixers should try to trade Joel Embiid immediately? How do you think people voted?
Wow. Well, that kind of messes with my perception. Should try and immediately.
Well, I mean, you don't dump them for nothing. You got to try to get a good trade. But basically, do you begin the process right now of trying to trade him? Do you begin the,
I get it. But I think a lot of people will interpret that a lot of different ways. Okay. So I don't know. I'm going to guess it's close to 50, and 51% will say they should.
64 want him traded.
Wow.
Jeez.
Two-thirds.
That's pretty dramatic.
We've never been anywhere near that. When we've done this in the past and we haven't done
it much.
It's normally about 15%. So you got about
about two-thirds
are saying let's end it.
Wow.
All right, the next poll question, which is a sort of a it's a similar topic but from a different angle. Second poll question, John, do you think this will be Joel's last season with the Sixers? Now, before you assess how people voted, let's all go on the record. Seltzer, do you think it could be an in-season trade or it could be a trade after the season? Do you think this is his last year with the Sixers?
I'm still not there yet. Like, I get how it could be, obviously, you know, but I still think that he's going to play a little better. They're gonna force their way through it. I don't think they will.
So I think the answer is no, and you know, unless he asks out, and I think he might, but I think even if he does, they still might not trade him because they've had a tendency when someone wants out that they hold on to him longer than the player wants, which I actually appreciate. I'm going to say that this is not his last season, but it certainly might be. Rhea, where do you come down on this one?
I'm not saying he's going to ask out, but he might pout out.
He might.
You know, I mean, that could I don't know if they can trade him during the season. Like, I don't know what the rules are with signing him to the extension, so I have to look into that.
Yeah. It may be after a certain date.
It could be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he can force himself out this year. I think he would want to because he could probably think he could pull this nonsense on another team because this city is sick of it. I mean,
totally
even his staunchest supporters are bailing.
Even Tyrese Maxey is sick of it.
Yeah, that's all you need
to
know.
How about that? The young guys, well, that was the thing. When we saw him glaring at McCain in the game, in a game moment, it felt like, wait, is there resentment building up already? How does this make any sense? These are young kids out there just trying to play basketball, yeah. and we've got some bad vibes. Yeah, when I saw that, it was like, man, this is time to cut the cord.
How do you think
it
people
is
voted,
clearly
John?
Time.
Do people think this is his last season here?
I'm going to say 70% say yes.
64% say it is. We'll see. You know, Merrill, obviously we think of you in terms of the Eagles for obvious reasons, mm-hmm. but of the other teams, what stokes you the most? Is it the Phillies, Flyers, or the Sixers?
I would be honest and say the Phillies. In the summer, I get off the golf course, I come home, I watch the Phillies every night.
And you,
my
go,
man, Merrill.
And you go
my
right
man.
Back on the golf course the next morning.
Next day.
I know you do, Merrill. It's good. Right, Merrill, so Saquon, he's exceeded my expectations, and they were pretty high, but not as high as John's. I thought there'd be some wear and tear. You know, this is his seventh year. That's not insignificant in pro football. Has he exceeded your expectations that he's got this level of athletic brilliance still
in? I knew that he was a great back, but after the years with the Giants yeah. and after the injuries that he sustained there, some pretty significant season-ending injuries, I wondered if he still had the great quickness and speed that he had coming out of Penn State, because I'm a big Penn State fan, yeah. and I watched every game he played there. And he has it. He still has it. He has the explosiveness. He is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I marvel at what he does. It's nuts.
He's, yeah, love every second of it. And I love the fact that it means that we're handing it off more. So Sirianni is the head coach with the best road record in the NFL
yeah.
now. And I just wonder, Merrill, through the years, everything that you've seen, have you noticed ways that he's been able to sort of take away home field advantage in other stadiums, or a way that he has helped accentuate the home field advantage here in Philadelphia?
Well, I'm not at his meetings with the team, but I heard Ruben this morning talk about strengths and how he approaches the team and how the team pays attention to him. And I think he's very, very good at preparing the team mentally and emotionally to going to these different road venues.
And I'll tell you what probably helps, Sean, more than your era. I mean, there's like 10 or 15,000 Eagles fans at a lot of these games now.
That's right. And he always says yeah. Eagles fans travel so well.
I mean, you
well,
can
and
hear
this
it.
One in particular in L.A.,
I know. There,
that stadium always has a
soft fan base out there.
Opposing fans
yeah.
in that
Oh,
stadium.
That's a good point.
Hey, we
yeah.
broadcast from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. You can join us this evening at 6 o'clock for a special celebrity bartending event, and it will include Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata. And, of course, so much of today benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Joel Embiid's going to be an actor. They're going to make a reboot of The Wizard of Oz, and he's going to play all three. The Cowardly Lion, he's going to play the Tin Man, and he's going to play the Scarecrow. I didn't realize a professional athlete can actually act and play all three.
Well,
but that's what Joel Embiid reminds me of.
Joe, if you were really on top of your game, you'd say he'd play the Wizard because the Wizard was actually a fraud.
That is
wow,
true.
Joe.
You know?
That's
yeah.
actually good, Joe. I'm shocking. Since Merrill's there, before I get into the winner of the best wild moment of all time, I think the Eagles can be a great team. There's three things on the team they need to work on, and I think when they play 12 offense in the red zone, they use the middle of the field more, and that's Jalen's weakness is red zone passing in the middle of the field. And I think with the double tight end, whether it's Kalkavecchia, whether it's the big guy. I keep saying that on the air. Thank you. And using two tight ends to give Jalen bigger targets in the red zone, I think if they improve that in the red zone, that could be a great team. I think Jake Elliott has to get it together. I mean, he's always been there, but he's got to get it together. And I think on the Eagles team the last 6 weeks, and I think it's being underlooked, the combination of Nolan Smith and Graham have been getting better and better and better statistically.
Yep.
Keeping the edge. I think Nolan Smith's got 3.5 sacks in his last 5 games. I think so does Brandon Graham.
Well, Joe, so is Sweat.
Sweat too. Yeah,
yeah. Sweat deserves, I think, to be said first and foremost.
But that's the other side. I'm talking the Smith-Graham side. Those two together playing that one side are keeping the edge where the runners can't get out. They're keeping the quarterback in the pocket. Those two combinations are actually holding down that side. And if they keep improving, because Graham will stay fresh, and I think Nolan Smith is starting to figure it out. He's getting more snaps, getting more pressures. This team can become great. And when they keep telling you they're building, 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 I actually believe it. I believe they're paying attention to detail in all the little intricacies of winning football games, and I think they are going in the right direction. I really do.
Well, clearly they are. Joe, give me a great answer. What was wild in sports?
Well, I'm going to go a little off the box, but I think Rhea will know this date more than anybody else. February 2nd, 2018, the last Wing Bowl, the biggest party in sports history at the Wells Fargo Center, where Molly Shuler ate 501 wings, and the biggest pre-game Super Bowl party in sports history. That place was bananas, and Wing Bowl was the wildest event I've ever been to.
All right, I need a ruling. Is Wing Bowl, quote, in sports?
I don't know.
I tend to think no.
I lean no, too.
I think of it as in radio. Yeah. Is Wing Bowl in sports?
I still have PTSD from Wing Bowl, so I'm going to refrain from voting anyway.
It is competitive eating.
It is. Yeah, I mean, but I don't
know. Is that a sport? Yeah. That's like a competition. Yeah. No, it's a competition. There's a difference between competition and sport.
I mean, tiddlywinks is a competition.
Exactly.
It's not a sport.
Chess is a competition.
Cornhole is a competition.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
right.
I think there's a difference.
Beat the hammer is a competition, not a sport.
Exactly.
With that, let's do.
I think shooting free throws is a competition.
Oh, snap.
You know what, John? I'll see you on the court in March when we do that free throw shooting challenge again. Hey, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. With the Merrill Reese impersonations about to begin, Joe tells me we've got six of them. It's going to be Merrill to Merrill. Let's hit it.
This is Merrill Reese. For the love of me, I just don't understand why they just didn't run the ball there, Mike. Time's yours.
Not great.
Yeah, it's a 4 out of 10, right? Merrill, you may
it's
be
like
too kind. You may be too kind to comment. If you comment,
do,
if you
do,
like.
We ask for like a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I'm not using my thumbs on that one.
Mike, the Eagles brought in Tampa Bay so all the fans around could say this was to be our greatest chance to finally make it to that wonderful dance. But something happened on the way to the show which stopped us in our tracks for our trip to San Diego.
Was he doing like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Hopefully they get better.
Let me see, that was more of a impersonation of Conklin.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, let me say this.
He should have gone, huh.
Merrill is not Dr. Seuss, and he didn't write 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. You crossed it real weird there, my man.
It is second down and two. Brady with White to his right. Brady back again. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward, and he fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by Barnett. Barnett. Brady fumbles, and the ball is covered by Barnett.
Pretty good.
Great. At least he did it at the
play. I like that one.
Yeah. Pretty good. Merrill, I think you said Barnett's name.
Okay.
I think you said his name three times. But
yeah, it was okay.
That's
it
our best yet.
Yeah, it didn't sound like Merrill much, but the delivery was.
There
was some inflection there.
Yes. Yeah, he nailed it.
There was some
things.
Inflection.
Yes, some inflections.
Jahad Dotson is in motion from right to left as Jalen takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He pumps once. He's going to run with the football. He's at the 5 inside move, and he's in for the touchdown. A bonus of almost $600 to Frito-Lay, and it's a great day for a Snapple beverage.
That was bad.
The inflection right there was perfect.
That was okay. I don't think we've had Frito-Lay for 15 years.
I know, right? Yeah.
Well, Merrill, my favorite was this Slacks Hoagie Shack whack in the game.
Oh, yeah.
We have had some.
That was a classic.
The ball is spotted. The kick is up. It's The Eagles win.
Pretty good.
So.
He went simple, like it's not a long one. But Merrill, do you have a favorite game-ending field goal call?
You know what? I do. I do, and there's no question about that.
All right, hold on. Let me put the thinking cap on.
I would guess Jake Elliott would be my guess.
Oh, absolutely.
61-yarder.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure.
61-yarder. Yeah. And I had one with Matt Bryant kicking a 61-yarder against the Eagles
to beat
them in Tampa Bay.
That was Foles, right?
No. That was Donovan week 6 of 06.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That was brutal.
Crushing.
Good pull with week 6 of 06.
I mean, on one side of the glass was Gene Deckerhoff, the Tampa Bay announcer, going through the roof.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the other side was me. On the floor in the Eagles booth.
All right, we got one more impersonation. Let's hear it.
Back goes Cunningham. He's looking, looking, looking. Now he's starting to roll. He hits Barnett at the 30, 35, 40,
45 midfield, 45-40, 35-30. Bo Arnett's gonna go! No flag! The Eagles win! Eagles win! Eagles win!
Well, you know what? That had two mixed together.
He's all over the place.
Well, but the Barnett thing,
of course,
it was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where Bruce Smith had chased him in the
end. But our caller
went to
Sean
at the end there.
But then he mixed it with the Mike Quick touchdown to end in 85.
No, the Eagles win, Eagles win, Eagles win was a play where this is funny. You have a second for this one?
Yeah.
This was at Texas Stadium, and the Cowboys were driving, and the Eagles were up on the Cowboys. And there was a pass into the end zone at the very end. And as I looked into the end zone, I could see a green helmet go up, and the Eagles came down with the ball. But I couldn't see from our angle what the numbers were. So they come running out of the end zone, and I say, it's intercepted. It's intercepted. The Eagles have the football running along the sideline. Now I'm biding my time until I can look. Derek Boyko is our spotter. And he was the Eagles' PR director. He was our spotter, so that he could pick it up with the binoculars. I looked over for Derek. Joe McPeak, our producer, who's very professional, had lost it, and he had tackled Derek, and the two of them were on the floor. Now I look back up, and I see 23, and I say, Troy Vincent with the football, and I take him across the 50, and I go down through the thing, and I yell, the Eagles win, the Eagles win, the Eagles win. So now we have a fabulous finish to the game, except that when we're in a break, we see the replay, and it was actually number 50, James Willis, who intercepted the ball. And in the time that I looked over to Derek, who was on the floor, he had lateraled to Troy Vincent. So I blew the whole thing, and Joe's saying, I'm going to resign, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's my fault, I blew it. Because, you know, we don't have a chance for editors to come back and fix things. You're calling them on the spur of the moment. And I've never ever done a perfect game. Nobody has, because we're human beings. And you're talking about Jake Elliott. He's a human being. He's pretty much a machine.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Jake. Jake will bounce back.
Well, Merrill, maybe you weren't perfect, but you were as damn close as anyone could be.
Damn right.
That was a mixture of a couple.
Yeah.
But part of it was the Bruce Smith chase and the pass to Arkansas Fred.
So, John, who wins here with the impersonation? And I know it's hard to remember them all.
I think it was number four, if I remember correctly.
That's what I thought.
The one who did a pretty longer one, and he had the inflection.
I thought it was pretty good. The last three were better than the first three. All right, with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, nice job by the crew that called in there with that. We appreciate you doing that. That was fun. Let's get to a winning answer here for what was wild in sports.
So many great
answers. And Merrill, with you here, we're going to let you make the call.
Okay. All right.
So what was wild in sports? And we specifically say we're not looking for something that's really massively tragic. I mean, we said, let's bring it down a notch here. So when the Super Bowl had the blackout between the 49ers and the Rams and the stadium went dark for half an hour, the earthquake in 89 started game three of the World Series, disco demolition night, the White Sox fiasco, the Philly special, it is wild, Fan Man, the guy that fell into the ring, but the thing, and he fell into the ring. Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield were fighting each other. Randy Johnson hitting the bird with a pitch, and that's pretty much what we got. What would you go with?
Well, my favorite, of course, would be for the Philly.
Sure.
But I would have to say the earthquake.
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer.
I remember Al Michaels describing he stayed there. And doing this, he turned into a newscaster, really, and did all the news events.
I remember that.
It's the right answer. Hey, Bryce, congratulations. That's a great answer.
I think that's the correct answer.
I did, too. Yeah. This was fun today. Hey, thank you to everyone at Chickies and Pete's for being out here today. And, of course, the show, not our show, but the show, so to speak, the station rolls on from Chickies for the next 9 hours. Reminder, it's never too early to book that holiday party. Book now for the next couple months at Chickies and Pete's, all the different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Get a party upgrade. Details online at chickiesandpetes.com.
Joe, thank you so much for having
me.
You guys do a great job.
And
know that I am, wherever I am, I'm listening to you guys every morning.
Thanks. Well, Merrill, thank you for being
you. Thank you, Merrill.
And Merrill, go Birds on Sunday
in
Los Angeles. Everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. The station rolls on for many hours. Joe and Hugh, they're up next. Well, good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. Birds at the Half. Joe and Hugh will pick up the broadcast starting at 10 o'clock today, then Spike, Ike, and Jack from 2 to 6. Station will be broadcasting until 7 o'clock here. We are at the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's. In 10 minutes, Merrill will get a first-hand account of impersonations that have come in of Merrill. It's people doing Merrill to Merrill. So we'll find out how that goes coming up in 10 minutes. All right, Sean, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day and round them out. Obviously, if we weren't doing so much Eagles today, we would have done a lot more on Joel. I'm sure we'll do more of that tomorrow. Something tells me this issue is not, you know, exactly going away, unless they trade him quickly. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox, sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, both these questions, I'm certain most people would have said no, perhaps even up until yesterday, but definitely up until recently. We'll see where things tilt now. John, first poll question. Do you think the Sixers should try to trade Joel Embiid immediately? How do you think people voted?
Wow. Well, that kind of messes with my perception. Should try and immediately.
Well, it means you don't dump them for nothing. You got to try to get a good trade. But basically, do you begin the process right now of trying to trade them? Do you begin the
I get it, but I think a lot of people will interpret that a lot of different ways. Okay. So I don't know. I'm going to guess it's close to 50, and 51% will say they should.
64 want them traded.
Wow.
Jeez.
Two-thirds.
That's pretty dramatic.
We've never been anywhere near that. When we've done this in the past and we haven't done it's normally about 15%. So you got about about two-thirds are saying let's end it.
Wow.
All right, the next poll question, which is it's a similar topic but from a different angle. Second poll question, John, do you think this will be Joel's last season with the Sixers? Now, before you assess how people voted, let's all go on the record. Seltzer, do you think it could be an in-season trade or it could be a trade after the season? Do you think this is his last year with the Sixers?
I'm still not there yet. Like, I get how it could be, obviously, you know, but I still think that he's going to play a little better. They're gonna force their way through it. I don't think they will.
So I think the answer is no, and you know, unless he asks out, and I think he might, but I think even if he does, they still might not trade him because they've had a tendency when someone wants out that they hold on to him longer than the player wants, which I actually appreciate. I'm going to say that this is not his last season, but it certainly might be. Rhea, where do you come down on this one?
I'm not saying he's going to ask out, but he might pout out.
He might.
You know, I mean, that could... I don't know if they can trade him during the season. Like, I don't know what the rules are with signing him to the extension, so I have to look into that.
Yeah. It may be after a certain date.
It could be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he can force himself out this year. I think he would want to, because he could probably think he could pull this nonsense on another team, because this city is sick of it. Even his staunchest supporters are bailing.
Even Tyrese Maxey's sick of it.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
How about that? The young guys, well, that was the thing. When we saw him glaring at McCain in the game, in a game moment, it felt like, wait, is there resentment building up already? How does this make any sense? These are young kids out there just trying to play basketball, and we've got some bad vibes. Yeah, when I saw that, it was like, man, this is time to cut the cord.
How do you think
it
people voted,
John?
Do people think this is his last season here?
I'm going to say 70% say yes.
64% say it is. We'll see. You know, Merrill, obviously we think of you in terms of the Eagles for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But of the other teams, what stokes you the most? Is it the Phillies, Flyers, or the Sixers?
I would be honest and say the Phillies. In the summer, I get off the golf course. I come home. I watch the Phillies every night.
And you,
go
back on the golf course the next morning.
Next day.
I know you do, Merrill. It's good. All right, Merrill, so Saquon, he's exceeded my expectations, and they were pretty high, but not as high as John's. I thought there'd be some wear and tear. You know, this is his seventh year. That's not insignificant in pro football. Has he exceeded your expectations that he's got this level of athletic brilliance still?
I knew that he was a great back, but – after the years with the Giants and after the injuries that he sustained there, some pretty significant season-ending injuries, I wondered if he still had the great quickness and speed that he had coming out of Penn State. Because I'm a big Penn State fan, and I watched every game he played there. And he has it. He still has it. He has the explosiveness. He is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I marvel at what he does. It's nuts.
He's, yeah, love every second of it. And I love the fact that it means that we're handing it off more. So Sirianni is the head coach with the best road record in the NFL now. And I just wonder, Merrill, through the years, everything that you've seen, have you noticed ways that he's been able to sort of take away home field advantage in other stadiums, or a way that he has helped accentuate the home field advantage here in Philadelphia?
Well, I'm not at his meetings with the team, but I heard Ruben this morning talk about strengths and how he approaches the team and how the team pays attention to him. And I think he's very, very good at preparing the team mentally and emotionally to going to these different road venues.
And I'll tell you what probably helps, Sean, more than your era. I mean, there's like 10 or 15,000 Eagles fans at a lot of these games now.
That's right. And he always says Eagles fans travel so well. I mean,
and this one in particular in L.A.,
I know.
That stadium always has
soft fan base out there.
Opposing fans in that
stadium. That's a good point.
Hey, we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. You can join us this evening at 6 o'clock for a special celebrity bartending event, and it will include Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata. And, of course, so much of today benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Joel Embiid's going to be an actor. They're going to make a reboot of The Wizard of Oz, and he's going to play all three. The Cowardly Lion, he's going to play the Tin Man, and he's going to play the Scarecrow. I didn't realize a professional athlete can actually act and play all three.
Well,
but that's what Joel Embiid reminds me of.
Joe, if you were really on top of your game, you'd say he'd play the Wizard because the Wizard was actually a fraud.
That is true.
Joe.
You know?
That's actually good, Joe. I'm shocked. Since Merrill's there, before I get into the winner of the best wild moment of all time, I think the Eagles can be a great team. There's three things on the team they need to work on, and I think when they play 12 offense in the red zone, they use the middle of the field more, and that's Jalen's weakness is red zone passing in the middle of the field. And I think with the double tight end, whether it's Kalkavecchia, whether it's the big gut. I keep saying that on the air. Thank you. And using two tight ends to give Jalen bigger targets in the red zone, I think if they improve that in the red zone, they could be a great team. I think Jake Elliott has to get it together. I mean, he's always been there, but he's got to get it together. And I think on the Eagles team the last 6 weeks, and I think it's being underlooked, the combination of Nolan Smith and Graham have been getting better and better and better statistically.
Yep.
Keeping the edge. I think Nolan Smith's got 3.5 sacks in his last 5 games. I think so does Brandon Graham.
Well, Joe, so is Sweat.
Sweat too.
Yeah, Sweat deserves, to be said
side,
first
100%,
and foremost.
But that's the other side. I'm talking the Smith-Graham side. Those two together playing that one side are keeping the edge where the runners can't get out. They're keeping the quarterback in the pocket. Those two combinations are actually holding down that side. And if they keep improving, because Graham will stay fresh, and I think Nolan Smith is starting to figure it out. He's getting more snaps. He's getting more pressures. This team can become great. And when they keep telling you they're building, I actually believe it. I believe they're paying attention to detail in all the little intricacies of winning football games. And I think they are going in the right direction. I really do.
Well, clearly they are. Joe, give me a great answer. What was wild in sports?
Well, I'm going to go a little off the box, but I think Rhea will know this date more than anybody else. February 2nd, 2018, the last Wing Bowl, the biggest party in sports history at the Wells Fargo Center, where Molly Shuler ate 501 wings, and the biggest pre-game Super Bowl party in sports history. That place was bananas, and Wing Bowl was the wildest event I've ever been to.
All right, I need a ruling. Is Wing Bowl, quote, in sports?
I don't know.
I tend to think no.
I lean no, too.
I think of it as in radio. Yeah. Is Wing Bowl in sports?
I still have PTSD from Wing Bowl, so I'm going to refrain from voting anyway.
It is competitive eating.
It is.
Yeah,
I mean, but I don't.
Is that a sport? Yeah. That's like a competition. Yeah. No, it's a competition. There's a difference between competition and sport.
I mean, tiddlywinks is a competition.
Exactly.
It's not a sport.
Chess is a competition.
Cornhole is a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
I think there's a difference.
Beat the hammer is a competition, not a sport.
Exactly.
With that,
I think shooting free throws is a competition.
Oh, snap.
You know what, John? I'll see you on the court in March when we do that free throw shooting challenge again. Hey, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. With the Meryl Reese impersonations about to begin, Joe tells me we've got six of them. Oh. It's going to be Meryl to Meryl. Let's hit it.
This is Meryl Reese. For the love of me, I just don't understand why they just didn't run the ball there. Mike, time yours.
Not great.
Yeah, it's a 4 out of 10, right? Meryl, you may
that's
be
like
too kind. You may be too kind to comment if you... Comment
do,
if you
do
like.
Do we ask for like a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I'm not using my thumbs on that one.
Mike, the Eagles brought in Tampa Bay so all the fans around could say this was to be our greatest chance to finally make it to that wonderful dance. But something happened on the way to the show which stopped us in our tracks for our trip to San Diego.
Was he doing like Twas the Night Before Christmas?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Hopefully they get better.
That was more of a personation of Conklin.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, let me say this.
He should have gone, huh.
Meryl is not Dr. Seuss, and he didn't write Twas the Night Before Christmas. You crossed it real weird there, my man.
It is second down and two. Brady with White to his right. Brady back again. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward, and he fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by Barnett. Barnett. Brady fumbles, and the ball is covered by Barnett.
Pretty good.
Great. At least he did it at
the
play.
I like that one. Yeah.
Pretty good. Meryl, I think you said Barnett's name.
Okay.
I think you said his name three times. But
yeah, it was okay.
That's
it
our best yet.
Yeah, it didn't sound like Meryl much, but the delivery was.
There
was some inflection there.
Yes. Yeah, he nailed it.
There was some
things.
Inflection.
Yes, some inflections.
Jahad Dotson is in motion from right to left as Jalen takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He pumps once. He's going to run with the football. He's at the 5 inside move, and he's in for the touchdown. A bonus of over $600 to Frito-Lay, and it's a great day for a Snapple beverage.
That was bad.
The inflection right there was perfect.
That was okay. I don't think we've had Frito-Lay for 15 years.
I know, right? Yeah.
Well, Meryl, my favorite was this Slacks Hoagie Shack whack
of
the game.
Oh, yeah.
We
have had some.
That was a classic.
The ball is spotted. The kick is up. It's The Eagles win.
Pretty good.
So.
He went simple, like it's not a long one. But Meryl, do you have a favorite game-ending field goal call?
You know what? I do, and there's no question about that.
All right, hold on. Let me put the thinking cap on.
I would guess Jake Elliott would be my guess.
Oh, absolutely.
61-yarder.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure.
61-yarder. Yeah. And I had one with Matt Bryant kicking a 61-yarder against the Eagles
to beat
them in Tampa Bay.
That was Foles, right?
No. That was Donovan week 6 of 06.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That was brutal.
Crushing.
Good pull with week 6 of 06.
I mean, on one side of the glass was Gene Deckerhoff, the Tampa Bay announcer, going through the roof.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the other side was me. On the floor
sure.
In the Eagles booth.
All right, we got one more impersonation. Let's hear it.
Back goes Cunningham. He's looking, looking, looking. Now he's starting to roll. He hits Barnett at the 30. 35-40. 45 midfield. 45-40. 35-30. Barnett's going to go. No flag. The Eagles win. Eagles win.
Well, you know what? That had two mixed together.
He's all over the place.
But the Barnett thing,
of course,
was in Buffalo,
yeah,
where Bruce Smith had chased him in the
but our caller
went to
Sean
at the end there. But then at the end,
and he mixed it with the Mike Quick touchdown to end in 85.
No, the Eagles win was a play where this is funny. You have a second for this one?
Yeah.
This was at Texas Stadium, and the Cowboys were driving, and the Eagles were up on the Cowboys. And there was a pass into the end zone at the very end. And as I looked into the end zone, I could see a green helmet go up, and the Eagles came down with the ball. But I couldn't see from our angle what the numbers were. So they come running out of the end zone, and I say, it's intercepted. The Eagles have the football. running along the sideline. Now, I'm biding my time
sure.
until I can look. Derek Boyko is our spotter, and he was the Eagles PR director. He was our spotter so that he could pick it up with the binoculars. I looked over for Derek. Joe McPeak, our producer, who's very professional, had lost it, and he had tackled Derek, and the two of them were on the floor. Now I look back up, and I see 23,
yeah.
and I say, Troy Vincent with the football, and I take him across the 50, and I go down the through the thing, and I yell, the Eagles win, the Eagles win, the Eagles win. So now we have a fabulous finish to the game, except that when we're in a break, we see the replay, and it was actually number 50, James Willis,
yep.
who intercepted the ball. And in the time that I looked over to Derek, who was on the floor, he had lateraled to Troy Vincent. So I blew the whole thing, and Joe's saying, I'm going to resign. I'm sorry. I said, no, it's my fault. I blew it. Because, you know, we don't have a chance for editors to come back and fix things. You're calling them on the spur of the moment. And I've never ever done a perfect game. Nobody has, because we're human beings. And you're talking about Jake Elliott. He's a human being. He's pretty much a machine.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Jake. Jake will bounce back.
Well, Merrill, maybe you weren't perfect, but you were as damn close as anyone could be.
Damn right.
I mean,
but that was a mixture of a couple.
Yeah.
But part of it was the Bruce Smith chase and the pass to Arkansas Fred.
So, John, who wins here with the impersonation? And I know it's hard to remember them all.
I think it was number four, if I remember correctly.
That's what I thought.
The one who did a pretty longer one, yeah, and he had the inflection.
I thought it was pretty good. The last three were better than the first three. All right, with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, nice job by the crew that called in there with that. We appreciate you doing that. That was fun. Let's get to a winning answer here for what was wild in sports.
So many great
answers. And Merrill, with you here, we're going to let you make
yes!
the call.
Okay. All right.
So what was wild in sports? And we specifically say we're not looking for something that's really massively tragic. I mean, we said, let's bring it down a notch here. So when the Super Bowl had the blackout between the 49ers and the Rams and the stadium went dark for half an hour, the earthquake in 89 started game three of the World Series, disco demolition night, the White Sox fiasco, the Philly special, it is wild, Fan Man, the guy that fell into the ring, but the thing, and he fell into the ring. Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield were fighting each other. Randy Johnson hitting the bird with a pitch, and that's pretty much what we got. What would you go with?
Well, my favorite, of course, would be the Philly.
Sure.
But I would have to say the earthquake.
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer.
I remember Al Michaels describing he stayed there. And doing this, he turned into a newscaster, really, and did all the news events.
I remember that.
It's the right answer. Hey, Bryce, congratulations. That's a great answer.
I think that's the correct answer.
I did, too.
Yeah.
This was fun today. Hey, thank you to everyone at Chickies and Pete's for being out here today. And, of course, the show, not our show, but the show, so to speak, the station rolls on from Chickies for the next 9 hours. Reminder, it's never too early to book that holiday party. Book now for the next couple months at Chickies and Pete's, all the different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Get a party upgrade. Details online at chickiesandpete's.com.
Joe, thank you so much for having
Merrill,
me. You guys do a great job.
Thank you. And
know that I am, wherever I am, I'm listening to you guys every morning.
Thanks. Well, Merrill, thank you for being
you. Thank you, Merrill.
And Merrill, go Birds on Sunday
in
Los Angeles. Everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. The station rolls on for many hours. Joe and Hugh, they're up next.